Hello, friends. I have an incredible podcast episode for you today. This has got to be one of my favorite podcast episodes. So a few weeks ago, my friend Tom Spark invited me on his brand new podcast, The Spark Podcast. And we ended up having the most fantastic conversation about relationships, boundaries, the power of psychedelics, manifestation, the author Neville Goddard, and how his work has impacted me, and so much more. I am so grateful to Tom's incredible questions and how he was able to bring out so many juicy nuggets from my experiences. So here is the full conversation with Tom Spark. Enjoy this conversation. You're going to love this episode.
James Zander is the host of both the James Zander Trip podcast and Weekly Masterminds in Bali. He connects entrepreneurs and creatives who are seeking to integrate spiritual principles into their work and business. His work and insights have attracted the attention of some of the sharpest and most ambitious minds in Bali. He educates others about the advantages of plant medicines, highlighting how these plants can serve as instruments to connect us with our higher selves and guide our actions from an elevated state of being. He is a student of the teachings of Neville Goddard and is bringing the message of custom reality creation to a modern audience. This episode is for anyone curious about the potential benefits of psychedelics and for anyone looking to deeper understand the often misinterpreted tool of manifestation and how to implement it with action steps. I really have my mind open from this conversation. Enjoy this one, guys. Ask yourself, what would the ideal version of you tolerate? You get to set the standard for what you allow into your life. It is only when we feel a lack of love for ourselves that we accept and allow these lower standards into our life. So I wanted to hand it over to you. How do we raise our standards for the things and people in our life?
How do we raise our standards? I think it comes from having a clear vision of what you want out of life. And the more precise the vision, how you want to be treated by other people, what kind of environment do you want to live in? How do you want your days to look like? Then you can start to notice the mismatch or the match, the resonance or the dissonance in your day-to-day life. And I think life is actually always trying to communicate with us through that medium of standards. It's like, how successful do you want to be? How in love do you want to be? How in harmony with the universe do you want to be? How connected to God do you want to be? And we have free will. So we can say, you know, my priority right now is purely money. So I'm just going to raise the standards on business. And I know that my health is suffering, but that's the choice I make. And that's the free will. Or you can say, you know, it's time to integrate. I want all of my life areas to flow beautifully. What would that take? What would the ideal version of James, how would he have to act? How would he have to talk, speak, communicate? What time does he wake up at? What time does he go to bed at? So understanding yourself, understanding what life is trying to ask of you, and knowing your standards, knowing what is out of alignment. So as soon as you spot a block in your life, ooh, that feels turbulent. I didn't like that, or I was triggered by that. That's the work. That's the universe saying something in there is off. And I brought this situation to you where you were triggered as a gift so you can explore it in your own personal hologram and understand what needs to be done so you don't get triggered or so you feel at peace with whatever triggered you before.
Man, that's awesome. It's this resistance pointing towards a lesson, the pain pointing towards a lesson. So yeah, I'm curious sort of what areas you found over the past months or the past 2 years, your life in general, however broad, whatever time span you want to use, like where you felt that you've been asked to raise your standards, that life has asked you to raise your standards, and how you've noticed that. So perhaps others can start to notice the areas that they need to dig into as well.
I think a great example is moving to Bali 2 years ago. I was in Canada and I just felt out of alignment with the culture in Canada and the country and the matrix of Canada. I think every place is a matrix. So you can't really get out of the matrix. It's just choosing what matrix do I want to be in? Do I want to be in the matrix of Costa Rica, the matrix of Canada, the matrix of Bali, the matrix of Antarctica, you know, different matrixes. And so I was in Canada and I just felt the dissonance. And my mind went back to a time when I was backpacking through Europe and traveling. And I was like, I long for that freedom. And then also during one of my psychedelic journeys, Bali started coming up. It was literally the shrooms telling me, you got to go to Bali. I remember in one of the trips, I was tripping with friends, went to the bathroom, sat on the floor. I was just like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of Canada. I got to go to Bali. And Bali was closed to the world at the time because of the situation in 2020, 2022. And so I went to Mexico first, which was a beautiful intermission between Canada and Bali, because Mexico is where I got to do ayahuasca. Mexico is where I got to connect with Mother Aya, get the downloads I needed, get connected to the mission, which I actually got on ayahuasca, my 1 billion humans mission, which we can dive into a little later.
Yeah, we will.
And then Bali opens up and I'm ready to go. I got the homework from Mother Aya and I'm ready to step into the person I was destined to become in Bali. But it would not have happened in Canada. And I was realizing that the environment shapes you and just understanding I've outgrown this place. And maybe one day I'll come back with fresh eyes and it'll teach me new lessons, but I got to get out.
How does self-love tie into that? How does raising your standards, how did that, how did you start loving yourself more, or, you know, or tough loving yourself more to get into those new situations? What did that look like? Did you have to let go of anything? Did you have how did the relationship with yourself change, and what love did you give to yourself to get there?
Yeah. It reminds me of a book by Kamal Ravikant. He wrote a book called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It.
Yes.
And in the book, he has a question. What would I do if I truly loved myself? Or the question might be, if I truly loved myself, would I keep doing this? And you can ask that about anything. So I like asking myself that question where I feel like my standards have fallen below a certain point. Relationships, I think, are a great example of that. If you're in a friendship that's one-sided or toxic,
yes,
and you ask yourself, if I truly loved myself, would I continue this relationship? The answer is so clear. So then you realize, oh, I haven't been loving myself enough in this area. See, it's like not obvious until you ask the question. It's like you feel like you love yourself, but then when you really dig down into it, then why am I lowering my standards for this relationship? Why am I lowering my standards for where I live or what I eat or how I show up?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I guess like Jordan Peterson would say, treat yourself like you are someone you're responsible for looking after, which is a great way. I like to kind of visualize it because it kind of takes you out of you, you know, it's you kind of look in and be like, right, if I was to look after this person as like a child,
yes,
what would I do? I'd be like, right, you need to do this. Come on, comb your hair, whatever it is, those kind of basic hygiene standards that we sometimes let slip, all that sort of stuff.
Or what would your best friend tell you? If you, and even let's say someone is listening and they said, I don't have any friends. Imagine one. Imagine the most supportive, best friend who's by your side, who understands you fully, and they know everything about your situation. Would they say, yeah, stick it out, stay in this toxic place or this toxic relationship?
Yeah.
Or would they say, my God, you get out. What are you doing? So I think having that third party perspective, even if it's imaginary, is so helpful. Another good one is, I learned this from the book Decisive. I think it was by Dan Heath. And in the book, it's like when you make a decision, you know, you're sometimes at a crossroads. Should I do this? Should I not? Imagine you're giving advice to someone exactly like you. So instead of Tom, it's Bob.
Yeah.
Bob is going through the exact same situation. He can't pick, you know, one path or the other.
Yeah.
What would you tell him? And immediately, because you have all the data, but it's not your decision. You're just advising Bob.
Yeah.
Somehow it becomes more obvious.
That's so good. That's such a valuable tool. In regards to friendship, I've heard you say like a great friend will inspire you to be the greatest version of yourself.
I love that you watched that video. That's
a great
video,
man. I watched a few. Got in, a great friend will inspire you to be the greatest version of yourself. But equally, when you're sharing your energy with others, you have to remember that it is a privilege for people to be in your presence, and your energy is a privilege to be shared. And I've not heard it phrased like that before. And that really resonated with me, because it kind of ties back into understanding your self-worth and how valuable you really are, and operating from that place. So I'm curious around relationships are a really interesting one, both in terms of romantic relationships, but also friendships. Mm-hmm. They can often be the biggest or the largest factor that holds people back.
Oh, yeah.
You become the sum total or the average of the five people you spend the most time with. It's throwing around, that's going around the internet. But what does that actually look like to you in your life? How have you managed to let go or know when to let go of relationships? And how have you done that or approached that in a way that also is loving as well? Because you can't keep everyone around forever who's ever been into your life. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to know who's to let go of. And what does that even mean, letting go of someone? What does that even mean?
Oh my God, such deep questions, man. Huh. How do you let go of someone? You know, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
This is really tough, because I'm not someone who likes to cut people out of my life. It feels harsh. And I also realize that it's always a two-way dance. So if something feels off, it's partly them, but it's also partly you. It's like water and oil. So it's like no one is really to blame. It's just the energies are not aligning. One thing I've heard from Jen Gottlieb that was really a beautiful piece of advice was, you don't try to see who to cut out or let go of. You just fill your life with people that energize you. And by default, it's like when you keep pouring water into a dirty glass, the dirt will flow out. It'll overflow. So you just keep filling your cup with energy, with positivity, with people that inspire you. So when those friends that maybe you feel not resonant with anymore, if they call, you say, look, I'm really tied up, I'm busy. And it's the truth, because you've actually made space for the people that energize you. So this is another area of standards, is are you willing to decline the good in order to let in the best? And it can apply to...
Are you able to decline the good in order to let in the best?
Yeah. Like, have you noticed in your life, like, you'll meet someone who's just an incredible person.
Yeah.
But then you don't make time for them because you're intimidated by them, or you feel like you're encroaching on their time. You don't want to ask them too many questions.
Yeah.
Even though they're exactly the person that is going to lift you up to the next level.
Yeah.
And they might want to connect with you.
Yeah.
But because of your self-worth, or you paint a story in your head, you're like, I don't want to bother him. I don't want to bother her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is realizing, like, no, that is the message from the universe. You go to those people and you make them your friends. It's comfortable to hang out with the same circle of people that are so comfortable. They're not going to push you too much, so you're not going to feel too triggered.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a new circle that's a little more elevated in some area, they're going to poke at your limiting beliefs. Well, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this habit?
Yeah.
And if people are ready for that, that's where they grow the most. And anyone who's in a relationship, it's like the mirror work there is 24/7.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, someone told me, you know what's better than a psychedelic trip? A relationship. It's a 24/7 psychedelic trip where you get all your shadows and your lights constantly reflected. So, but with friends, it works so beautifully too. It's like, if you raise your standards, you're enjoying that, aren't you?
We won't go into it, but yes, I agree.
It's a psychedelic trip.
Yeah.
I think of life as a trip too. This conversation is the trip.
Yeah.
And when you're in a trip, when you're in an actual psychedelic trip, something happens that throws you off center. The key, as everyone who's done psychedelics, is to get yourself back in the center. Come back to your center. Come back to your soul. So I apply that lesson in my life. If I feel out of resonance with something, I go deeper into it. Ooh, what is going on here? How can I get back to a center? But to answer your question, how to let go of people? Yeah, I think bringing new people into your life is actually the key thing. Yeah. And then naturally, you will fall out of resonance with some people. And it won't be like a big cutting off. It's like both people just exit each other's lives.
I think that's such a beautiful bit of wisdom and amazing way to put it. Because often when people think of letting go, they can often think of like cutting off, but cutting off, you're actually still holding a lot of energy for that person.
Absolutely.
Just because you've cut them off, there's actually even more energy than before because yes. there's the bitterness or whatever it is. Yeah. That's not letting go. Mm-hmm. But I love your approach that it's like, hey, well, fill the cup with mm-hmm. other stuff. And then it's a very gentle flow, seep, and mm-hmm. just natural evolution of, yeah, that's such a beautiful way to put it. In terms of you building relationships, you're a very well-connected man, and you build really, I've only known you a short time, but I really feel with you, you're excellent at building connections and, like I said at the beginning, allowing people space to be themselves around mm-hmm. you. Yeah, I'm curious about how you go around building your relationships and when you know that you want to build a relationship with someone and, yeah, what things you do or how you've worked on yourself to allow people the space to be themselves around you. And people, every time I see you, someone, they're giving you a hug, man, because they love you, bro. They really do. And, I'm really curious, yeah, what's going on there?
What is going on there? I think it's seeing people. When you, I'm going to bring up psychedelics again because they help me see the truth of everything. They help me see, like, when I look into someone's eyes now, I can just read so much non-perceptual information. And I guess it's intuition. I can pick up a bit on their pain. I can pick up on the spark of joy that's in them, their divinity, and seeing everyone as a piece of God. You know, I know it sounds hokey maybe, but it's truly seeing it as everyone is here to teach me something. I think it was it Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, no man is your friend, no man is your enemy, every man is your teacher. And I always come back to that. It's like every man is your teacher. Everyone's got something to teach you. So are you willing to listen? And I learned so much from getting to know someone deeply. So it's as much a privilege for me to get to know them, you know, as me inviting them to something.
Someone I've been hanging and spending a bit of time with recently, who you've just met, said something really profound that reminded me of Ram Dass. Quote, and it's been reverberating around my head this whole past week, and it's that we're all just walking each other home.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. I nearly cried. Like it's yeah, like, you know, we all come here with our ups and downs and our whatever our soul decided was going to be the turbulence, and we're all just walking each other home. And for me, that's such a beautiful way to see your relationship with everyone around you. It's like, hey, come on then, mate. Like, let's go. You know, that level of compassion.
It's also not taking anything personally. When you're younger and less mature, you paint all these stories of what things mean. Oh, this person doesn't like me because I said this or this. And then you grow up and you're like, first of all, everyone is mostly just thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
They don't have time to think about you. You're not the center of everyone's world.
Yeah.
So whatever you did that was embarrassing, they probably don't even remember it. And in fact, it's happened a few times where I was like, oh, I'm so sorry I did that. They're like, what did you do?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll just not mention it. So it's funny to not take things personally is the key. And to also see, so through psychedelics, I've learned to see my own shadow and my own light and to come to peace with both of them. So now when I see a shadow in someone else, there's no judgment because I know that we all have that. We all have foibles. We all have flaws. So I never see it as, oh, this person is has this dark side. It's more like they have a human side. And what is my reaction going to be to that? How will I surf the waves of that?
They have a human side.
They have a human side. Yeah. And when I make a mistake, I'm like, that's so human of me. That's so human of me.
That's so good, man.
I said I would do this and I didn't. That's so human of me.
Such a human.
Damn because we put ourselves on this perfectionist pedestal of like, oh, I got to wake up at 6 a.m. and do this thing and then this. And then you're like, my God, like we're all figuring it out.
Yeah.
We're all figuring it out. Not one person that I've met has it all figured out.
Yeah.
But they've all have valuable lessons that they've mastered that I haven't mastered. So I can borrow from their lessons so I don't have to go through those lessons.
Yeah.
And they can borrow from mine.
Yeah.
And that's how we grow.
That's the beauty of it.
It's the beauty of it.
So, you know, we're going to get into psychedelics. I'm really excited to get into this and plant medicine. I wanted to kind of start with a quote. I don't know if you've heard this before. This is from Omran Miguel Ibanov. And for me, this kind of, you're an explorer.
Mm-hmm.
An explorer. Mm-hmm. And for me, this quote kind of points to, from what I know about you and what I experienced from you, this kind of points to some of it. So I wanted to share it with you before we dig deep into psychedelics. So turn back to the higher planes and plunge into the cosmic ocean once again.
Mm-hmm.
People think that it is the details that they will find the light, the precision that they are looking for, but this is an illusion. You will find far more light in what is vague and indistinct. The human soul needs immensity. Only in immensity can it be happy and feel free to breathe.
Wow. I have not heard that before. What does that quote mean to you?
Oh, good. Is this, so there's this other great quote, answering a quote with a quote. Sell your cleverness and purchase curiosity. Or sell your cleverness and purchase bewilderment.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that points to the same thing. The human mind, the ego wants to get hold of all of the answers. Okay, this, I'll put this there. Okay, now I understand that. That's in that nice box.
Mm-hmm.
You can't experience the depth of whatever the heck this is
mm-hmm.
with descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
The first line of the Tao is the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. When we try and put things in a box, we put things, we actually stop experiencing what they are. We try and logically understand what we need to experience. And for me, this idea of where you find the light in what is vague and indistinct, you're not, when you experience these amazing things, and I'm really excited to go into your experience with psychedelics.
Mm.
When you experience these things, it's not a logical experience at all. From my experience, it's not something that you can then go and write down and be like, oh, that's what I learned. It's a feeling, it's an awareness, it's mm-hmm. all of this.
It's a tune-up. It's an energetic tune-up.
An energetic tune-up.
Yeah, you're going to the mechanic.
Huh.
And they're changing the oil.
They're changing the oil.
The energetic oil.
And the energetic oil.
And you come out of it a new person. I feel like the person you go into the mushroom trip, into the ayahuasca journey, into San Pedro,
yeah.
the person you come out is a different person. It's a mm-hmm. different timeline. If you've done the work and the trip,
yeah.
you have actually upgraded yourself several frequencies or several timelines.
Mm.
Now the question is, can you hold that frequency? You know, you feel so refreshed after a trip,
yes.
so much clarity.
Yes.
And then it slowly dissipates as life kind of hooks you into drama.
Mm.
So the question is, can you maintain that new identity that you've discovered in the trip?
So man, I'd love to just sort of dive in here and really, this is, you know, your area, man, and how you communicate your experiences, I find is beautiful, you know, listening to you. So I really want to just kind of understand what your experiences of trips are, why it's plant medicine, why it's healing, just your whole experience around psychedelics, what trips are like, how you can convey what that is. And, you know, there's still a lot of stigma around it.
Mm.
There's still a lot of stigma around it.
Not in my world.
Not in your world. I love that.
Someone asked me, do you ever get people who like are not into mushrooms around you? I'm like, no. Like every conversation is around mushrooms. Somehow it leads to it.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I'm just fascinated to explore, yeah, some areas there
yes.
about what it means to you and just, yeah, your experience kind of.
Where shall we start?
Let's start with, why is it a medicine?
I guess like medicine, when you swallow a bitter pill, it's not always going to be a smooth ride, but it's going to heal you. It's going to work on you. So like some of my best mushroom trips started off in ways that I thought, oh, this is going to be the worst trip ever. Like I did one actually recently on the full moon. And the first hour, I just felt so sad. And I was like, I can't figure this out. Like, I've been having a great week, great month. And then I'm like, well, this is the work. And then something popped up around why I was feeling sad. And I'm like, okay, let's dive into that. So I think it's a medicine because it wakes you up. It shows you more truth about yourself.
Mm.
It gives you guidance. It gives you homework. It gives you messages. It's like intuition, the dial of intuition turning up to 10, getting a little bit of psychic powers for 6 hours.
Mm.
And you get all these visions. You can see further out of how your life is going to go if you continue on this path and how your life might go if you learn some new tricks. And then you come back and you're like, okay, I want to learn the new tricks. Let's integrate.
Integration. Yeah. I think there's a lot thrown around of people who perhaps don't respect what it is. And it's kind of, some people enter it thinking it's going to solve your problems. It will show you.
It will show you.
It's like an orientation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of your job to then reorientate yourself and then integrate, take the actions or however that looks, change the inner, whatever's going on in here. Mm-hmm. So how does that look for you? How do you, you said you had something that was challenging that came up. How do you take these orientations, these truths, these downloads that come in? Mm-hmm. And then how do you actually, and you respect them for what they are, and then you integrate it into the new timeline, who you are moving towards. How do you actually integrate those lessons?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll talk about the trip, actually, because I discussed this in one of my videos. In the trip, the resistance that was coming up was around a specific person. And I realized that that friendship was not serving either of us. And I had dropped my standards. I was allowing this person to treat me in ways that I would never allow any other friend to treat me. But I was making an exception for them. And it took a lot of hours on that trip to really sit with it. It was hilarious too, because I was on the rooftop of this villa enjoying the sunset, but feeling sad about this, knowing that I had to make a decision here, either to let the friend go. I couldn't figure it out. And in the early stages of a trip, you're just beginning the trip. You're not going to get the answer yet. You're just looking at the problem. You're figuring out, how did I even end up in this situation? The mushrooms are not going to like give you the prize at the end super quick. They're going to be like, no, you're going to sit in your turmoil for a little bit and learn from this. How did you end up here? And then we'll give you the answers, but you're going to have to do the test yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there on the roof and I'm feeling sad, but then I'm like, well, it's sad, but it's contained sad. And this thought crossed my mind. I haven't cried in some time. That's interesting. Of course, what do you think happened later in the trip? Like the most crying I've done in months. And that's part of the process too. Feeling the emotions, not suppressing them. Really feeling the sadness of letting someone go. Not skipping over it to the end. Oh, I've made a decision. I'm strong. I have my standards, my boundaries. Feeling the sadness of that. My God, what this could have been, but it's not going to be. And crying, releasing. And always trusting that the solution will come. So earlier in my mushroom trips, when I was started doing mushrooms, I didn't know that when I felt resistance, I was like, oh, but what if the whole trip is just resistance? And then I come out of the trip and I still don't know what to do. And then I'm like, fucked. So I was like, but now I know the solution will come. You just have to sit with it. Allow your brain and your neurons to refire, repattern. The connection will be made. And just trusting. And so I'm sitting there. It's like 2 hours of just processing this. And finally, the solution comes of like, you have to let this person go. And here's why. And the clarity, you know, when you feel the clarity of like, okay. But then I still have to make the decision. Like, I know the answer, but will I be strong enough to follow through on that? So the integration piece is when you come out of the mushroom trip, take the action that you were given. So if it means talking to that friend and saying, sorry, this is over, you're doing that. If it means blocking someone, doing that.
Yeah.
If it means you have whatever truth you received, you try to apply action right away. And that will solidify it. If you don't, then you've kind of, I don't want to say wasted the trip, but you've learned something, you've not applied it, which means you didn't really learn it.
Yes.
Have you really learned a lesson if you don't have the courage to apply it?
And the lessons, the teaching moments just going to get louder and louder.
It's going to come back.
Yeah.
It's going to come back on the next trip. or it'll come back. Different faces, different places.
Yeah.
But same lesson.
Different faces, different places, but same lesson.
Same lesson. So you might think, I resolved this. I got out of that friendship or relationship. But if you haven't healed what caused it in the first place, what standards you lowered for that to happen in the first place, it's going to come back again.
Yes.
And then you're going to have to say, good, good. This is another gift from the universe. Let's dig in.
This is beautiful. And that is interesting. I wrote down some lessons that you said you'd learned from taking mushrooms and exploring with plant medicine. And number seven was act quickly and follow your inspiration.
Yeah, act quickly.
Act quickly. Mm-hmm. I want to go into some of these lessons because there's so much. But before we did, I wanted to talk about, you have such a great perspective there and such great wisdom for people going into a trip. Like, hey, if it's shit, okay, you've got to feel it. That is where the lesson's going to come through.
Stay with it.
Stay with it. Don't worry. You don't, it's not going to be an instant fix. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah. Okay. Just sit through it. Cause that is going to give people so much peace when they do enter these turbulent times. And, I had a question for you regarding people who are dealing with trauma or who have had some really deep trauma in their life. And perhaps they've been told, hey, yo, mushrooms can help. Hey, you know, perhaps quite flippantly or casually.
Yeah.
I wondered if you had any advice for, because let's be honest, you are going to feel it and you're going to feel it amplified. So if you potentially go into a trip and you have a bunch of trauma that you're trying to heal and you don't have the wisdom that you just gave, you're going to feel that trauma again. And you could just have a traumatic 6 hours.
Yeah.
You really could, a bad trip. You could really get all encompassed by it and come out even more damaged and re-experiencing that trauma.
100%.
So people who are perhaps, I don't want to say more fragile, because we're also, but who have had some really traumatic experiences in their life and would like to integrate plant medicine to help them deal with it, how can they do that safely that isn't going to completely shock them?
I think dosage is important. So if you sense that there's something traumatic that might come up, just take a lower dose. That way you're not going to go all the way. You can kind of going into the waves on the shore, not really going to the deep end so quick. Once you get comfortable with that surface waves, you're like, you know, next trip, I'm going to take a little more. I feel safe to, I have a relationship with this plant, with this fungi. See, this is the thing that I love about my experience is this. I've developed complete trust with the mushrooms. So I know that they're not going to betray me. I'm not going to be like floundering in the middle of the energetic ocean sinking and not being able to get out. They're going to be there. They're going to hold me. The only betrayal could be from myself, resisting the experience. But if I surrender to it and I work with it, it will come to fruition. I will learn something. So dosage is important. If you feel like you're going through something negative and you want to kind of delve into this, but not have a traumatic psychedelic trip, just start really slowly. There's going to be hundreds of trips you can do in the future. So you don't need to rush to do the 5 gram heroic dose. Start with 0.5, then 1 gram, 1.5. The other thing that really helps is having a facilitator or a trip sitter. Just someone there sitting with you, making sure you're okay, being able to talk you out of your thoughts, get you out of the loop. Music also helps a lot with this. So I put these mixes that are 6 hours for my trips because then every 3 minutes, the song changes. So even if I'm obsessed about some negative thing, the track will change and the mood will change and I'll have to like go with the flow. I won't be able to stay focused on the loop. It gives a sense of flow and direction to the trip. And then with ayahuasca, one of the interesting experiences I noticed was I did 3 journeys in Mexico and I'll never forget one of them. There was a couple people having a really tough time, like crying the whole night. And like, you could tell they were going through some really traumatic things and reliving them. And of course the shamans were there to help, which is great. And that's so important to do ayahuasca with a shaman. But I was kind of worried. I was like, this is a lot. You can feel the pain. And then, you know, you do the trip, you start around 11 midnight, you end at 5 a.m. Then everyone sleeps. Then we wake up in the morning, we have a sharing circle. Who wants to share? every single person in that circle said, gracias a la madre. Thank you to the mother. Mm. Thank you to Mother Ayahuasca. Even the person that was crying all night long. So that taught me that even though outwardly it seemed like it was a very painful experience for them, they got something out of it.
Mm.
The thank you was genuine. They were not forced to, you know, say thank you, but they truly felt like they had gotten a gift out of it. And same thing with me. My first ayahuasca journey, the first 3 hours, I felt so much grief. Mm. Personal grief of things I thought I'd looked at, but hadn't really. The collective grief of the collective division of the world, which surprised me, like tuning into that. That's a whole other experience. And I just like so much tears and intensity, the intensity of it. I thought, if this is it for the next 8-9 hours, like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. This is going to be the worst trip of my life. But then I remembered the mushrooms, and what the mushrooms taught me through dozens of trips is there's always an arc to a trip. It can start off shaky. The plane can take off with some turbulence. You'll find your wings.
Mm.
Okay, this is really tough, but let me try to find my wings. Let me sit with this. And you know what? I did.
Mm.
Took a few hours. Suddenly the gratitude for the pain, the gratitude for the grief, the gratitude for, what was the poem where the guy said it? The flute that is carved out with knives.
Mm.
But produces beautiful music.
Mm.
So the knives, carved out with knives,
mm.
but then gives you the sweet music.
Mm.
And that's the dichotomy of life. That's the paradox of the greatest grief, the greatest trauma that you've experienced may end up being your greatest gift in ways you cannot foresee in the moment.
So you said, mm. one of the lessons I've learned from mushrooms is to surf the wave of energy that is most present.
Mm.
What does that mean?
It means when you get the inspiration to do something, you better do it right there and then, even if you're in your pajamas. Like, the universe ain't waiting. You got the hit, you got the energy, the download, you better act on it right away. Because it's a bit like Christopher Nolan was talking about this too. When he's in his writing process, he's writing his movies, he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's like, oh my God, I have the whole scene in my head.
Yeah.
He goes to his typewriter. He actually writes his scripts on a typewriter. Starts writing it immediately because he knows, and he said it such a great way. He said, if I wait till the morning, it's going to be gone. It's like you're drunk, but in a good way. You're drunk with inspiration. You're going to wake up sober. And although you made some notes, I'm going to write this in the morning, it's not going to be the same. So always go to the typewriter in the middle of the night. Do the thing that you're inspired to do. So with the surfing the waves, I find it, life is like surfing the waves of the ocean. There's going to be things that knock you off balance. There's going to be rough waves. There's going to be beautiful waves.
Mm.
There's going to be sunsets. There's going to be storms. Your job is to, number one, keep the balance. Just keep the balance. Stay on the board. Don't freak out if you fall off. Just get back on. And then when you spot the perfect golden inspiration, whether it's to call a friend or to start a business or to write the book, when it's truly clear, like, this is the moment, you have to put everything to the side and get to work. It's magic. There's magic in that. You feel it in your life?
Yeah, mate. So the way that I love how you've put that. The way that I try and conceptualize that is, call it kind of getting sparked. There's that spark. Tom Spark. There's that spark of inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inspiration in spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit is in you.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you attack tasks when you're inspired? You're enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which I think comes from
the Greek word entheos.
Yes.
The God within.
Yes.
So when you are enthusiastic and inspired, you are literally,
you're channeling God.
You're channeling God.
Yeah.
Guys,
it's not just Abraham Hicks who channels. It's all of us are channelers.
It's all of us.
Yeah.
It's all of us through this, whatever we've got here, we can channel, you know.
You're channeling writing, you're channeling music, you're channeling making a video, making a podcast. Mm. You're on the frequency.
Mm. It's that frequency.
It's that frequency.
So yeah, I guess but a lot of what I'm interested in is getting myself and helping others get to that frequency.
Yes.
Get sparked, because that's where God does his work through us, you know? So, yeah, man, you were listening to you then, like, yeah, man, just absolutely feeling that. With that in mind, another lesson you learned from mushrooms is your intuition already knows what you need to do.
Mm.
And I think that kind of ties in somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
You're in tune, Ishan. Mm-hmm. How does that look for you? And how do you know when your intuition is pointing you in a certain direction? How do you build a relationship with it?
Through trust and through listening. I remember, who else can relate to this? You know you shouldn't do something.
Uh-huh.
You know you shouldn't meet someone. But then you go do it. Just to check. See if your intuition was right. Just going to check. I'm going to go. I know I shouldn't go in that haunted house. I'm just going to check.
Yeah.
I don't. So it's the trust. Why check? Just trust the message that's coming through. Save yourself the trouble. And your life is going to be much smoother.
Do you say haunted house?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such like a good way to put it. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that doesn't look right. Let's go check it out.
I bet that's going to be scary in there.
Yeah,
it was.
And we all do this. It's like, ah, I know I shouldn't have done that. But you did it. You knew you shouldn't have done it. But so what does that say about the relationship you have with the intuition?
Yeah.
It means that you're not listening to it. You're not trusting it. You're not building a relationship with it. This is like your best friend living inside you, whispering secrets in your ear, telling you, go this way, go that way. But it's quiet. It's quiet. And the mind takes control and says, no, I know best. I'm the ego. I will do this. But the heart, the intuition, maybe both, I don't know if they're even separate, it's saying, no, do this, go this way. So I think it's building the trust and paying attention to your life. And after a while, the amount of synchronicities between I thought it was a good idea to do this and it turned out beautifully.
Mm.
I thought it was a bad idea to do this. I didn't do it and I saved myself a lot of trouble. Once you establish that inner outer world relationship, it's just such a no nonsense. You're going to see it play out in your life. But if you keep checking, you're never going to get the chance to establish that relationship because part of you still doesn't trust the heart.
Your intuition is your best friend whispering secrets in your ear. So with that being said, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek. So trust your intuition, trust your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the cave that you fear to enter holds the treasure.
Yeah. The thing you're most afraid of is probably the thing you're going to have to do.
Huh.
So for a long time, I was camera shy. Didn't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be seen by people. So, of course, I become a YouTuber. Right? It's like the universe is like, you're afraid of this? Okay, we're going to set up all these events that will inspire you to share a message. So you will have to get over that.
Mm.
Whatever you're afraid of, the cave you fear to enter is exactly where the treasure is. And I'm finding so much value in being seen, in putting my voice out there, in having the... I've learned more from YouTube and podcasting than I have from any other project. It's just a constant mirroring, right? You make something, you watch it back. You see how you present yourself, you edit it. It's a constant feedback loop. So it's beautiful. And so whatever you're afraid of public speaking, guess what? Probably somewhere in your future, you're going to have to get up on a stage in front of 1,000 people. Now you have free will, so you can deny it. You can deny your inner gifts because that's the gifts trying to come through. The fear is... Yeah, you can deny it. And you see this in people who they live their life kind of boxed in, constrained. They really want to do something, but they've never had that courage to take the leap. So you got to have the courage.
Don't die with the music still inside you.
Exactly. Exactly. My friend Steve likes to put it, he talks about manifestation. He says, yeah, you can align your vibe and visualize and things will start coming through. But there's one extra step that manifestation won't help you with. You'll have to say yes to the thing that's showing up. So you intend to have the ideal partner show up. They're going to come through. Universe will bring them. Will you have the courage to say yes or will you run away? You want to be a famous, actor. If you really hold that frequency, it'll come through. But will you have the courage to get up on stage and then do it? Do the work. So there's a piece of manifestation that always comes back to you. And if you have the courage, it'll work out. And you know, because your intuition is telling you.
Bro,
it always works out.
That's so beautiful. It's something I've been learning recently and is been challenging for me, man. Our friend Ibrahim had a really amazing conversation with him, and he said to me, Tom, you need to get better at receiving.
Mm.
And I have built this tendency because I've been selfish in the past. I've been a selfish motherfucker. I've not been a nice person.
We've all been.
I've taken advantage of people. So I've really tried to overcorrect.
That's like the opposite of how I see you.
Yeah.
I see you as the most generous, like, giving person.
That's been one of my mantras is give more.
Yeah.
Give more. Give more.
But isn't that funny? Your experiences early on.
Yeah.
And then you flip to the other side.
Mm.
And it's made you into the man you are today.
Yeah. And I'm very grateful. And I think it's funny that it's kind of tilting back another way as well. Well, not back the other way, but there's now a
balance.
A balance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Ibrahim, I trust very much. And I know you've had some amazing conversations with as well. He said, hey, like he gave me some amazing advice. And I instantly wanted to be like, okay, well, I can do this for you. And he's like, well, take it. Receive that. You need to sit with that. And it's something I had. I'll share this story because it speaks to exactly what you just said. I had an issue. I told you, like, laptop, water, things. Bali's not the easiest place to get things sorted out. It's been a bit of chaos. Da, 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 da. I've been running around in my mind. I went to all these different hire shops, tried to get a laptop. Literally, someone who's come into my life recently, they said, why don't you just ask me? You can borrow mine. I spent the whole day running around.
Yeah.
And it's just so... So something that I've realized is I need to get better at receiving and and allowing people to help me. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You don't need to, and that's good. And that's, you're going to be better for it. And people want to help you, and that's okay.
Such a great lesson.
Yeah. It's a really hard one for me.
Because you want to be independent.
Mm.
Or maybe you've been the lone wolf for a long time and
yeah,
I don't need people.
Yeah.
I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can... I need some help, actually.
I need some help. Yeah.
We all do. We never, like you said, was it you that said it? Like, we don't make it alone. Like, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Walking each other home.
We're walking each other
home. And no one gets to where they are alone.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is helped by someone. At the very least, their parents or their guardians, whoever raised them. Like, but beyond that, every friend you've had, every teacher you've had, every enemy you've had has taught you something that's made you who you are.
I know one of the things of inspiration is sometimes you get an idea, but sometimes an idea gets a hold of you. And I feel that the spirit of Neville Goddard has really got a hold of you recently
100%.
Through everything that you're doing. So I wanted to talk about how entering these altered states through the psychedelics and your experience with psychedelics, how that's helped you understand the teachings of Neville Goddard. And I just wanted to throw out two that you can perhaps sort of riff off.
Sure.
Just more general, that it's, there is nothing to change but the concept of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I took that from one of your reels.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no limit to your creative power. And one of Neville's biggest teachings on manifestation, feel the feeling of the wish fulfilled.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who the hell has Neville Goddard?
Mm-hmm.
What is manifestation? Why have you felt called to share his teachings and bring them into modern consciousness?
Yeah. Who is Neville? He was an incredible teacher who lived in the 1900s, and he would give these lectures for free, teaching about the power of imagination. He never called it manifestation because I don't think it was even a buzzword in the 1900s. He just called it creation.
Mm.
How do we create reality? And his whole theory was there is a 4D mental plane where the reality actually exists. So when you imagine yourself being successful, you capture the feeling of that success. That's the reality in 4D. It then, over time, with a bit of delay, filters into the 3D in the same way that a cube throws off a shadow of a square on the wall.
Mm.
We're living in the square. We're thinking this is the square. But the cube, there's another mental version that's a higher dimension.
Mm.
And it's filtering down. So he says, just go directly to the mental version. Experience it in your imagination. Experience it in the 4D. Whatever you want. Feel the feeling that implies that you've already got something. You've already achieved it. So if you want... If you want a partner, you imagine a scene, a small scene that implies that you already are living in that relationship. So it could be the words of your partner saying, hey, do you want some coffee? I'm just making some coffee. and you're in your home together. So you're not actually thinking of getting the partner. You're already there, living it in your imagination. And his theory is, once you experience it in your imagination, it's only a matter of time before the reflection of the 3D, because this is a mirror world, it'll mirror back to you. And he calls it bridge of incidents. So there will be a bridge of incidents that will, one day you'll wake up and you'll literally hear the exact same words. Hey, babe, do you want a cup of coffee? And you'd be, and if you remembered, because most of us don't remember, by that time, we forgot that we created it.
Yeah.
We do this all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I manifested that.
Uh-huh.
I literally, and you hear the same words. And dude, I've had this play out a few times and it's so funny. In the moment, you're like, holy shit, I created this. And then just as quickly, you fall back into the dream.
Yeah.
You forget that you're the creator. And you're like, ah, that was a coincidence. That was luck. And but then you do it again and you're like, my God, there's something to it. So how mushrooms have helped me a lot with understanding Neville and manifestation in general is on mushrooms, and also DMT was a huge helper. You literally see frequency. You're looking at the trees, but they're no longer just trees. You're seeing every ripple of the waves of the wind through the leaves. You're seeing the fractal nature of reality. You're looking at the sky and you're seeing a grid of energy. So when you see that on shrooms, you're like, okay, there is a 4D and I get access to it on mushrooms. Like it just, it becomes less of, I trust what this author says, to I've seen it. I've literally seen energy and frequency. And so now when I read these books about vibration and frequency and thoughts, I no longer have to go on blind faith. I can actually see it. And also on the mushroom trips, I've noticed there is sometimes instant manifestation. Have you ever turned on your phone after a trip and there's like a bunch of messages and they're just exactly the things you need to see and hear and read? People who haven't contacted you in months suddenly reach out because your energy in that heightened state pulled them in. Or I've noticed this. If I'm having a really difficult moment on the trip, especially in Bali, someone will like rev their scooter really loudly at the exact moment I'm having a bad moment, or the geckos will start chattering really loudly. As soon as I find peace, everything goes back to quiet. I'm not saying anything. It's purely internal, the grief or the resistance, but the geckos can feel it. The guy on the motorcycle who has no idea what part he's playing in my hologram, perfectly in sync. So that leads me to believe everything is like that. In our day-to-day sober reality, everything's in sync. We just don't notice it as much.
A lot of what you have just said will trigger a lot of people. Okay. Who are these people saying, oh, it's all a hologram and it's all about frequency and it's all about, you know, you can in tune with it. Okay, come on, man. Like, I get it. Mushrooms are nice. Come on, man. Something that I really want to push. This isn't like... woo-woo. Science is proving this.
Oh, yeah.
Science literally proves this. This is like, we have radio waves that are flying all around. Like, we live in a vibrational world, state, reality. It's all vibration, and that's not up for discussion. Like, it's just not up for discussion.
Everything you see is waves of light.
Everything
you hear.
And this is why musicians understand it. Musicians, I always find... understand it intuitively because they understand the transfer of energy through frequency, their music. They understand that they can bring an intention or they can bring a feeling and they can transfer that feeling through their music, through vibrations and give it to someone else. I just wanted to kind of say that because I know that a lot of people, for even some of the things that I've spoken about before, it can really trigger people. And it's a...
Why do you think it triggers them?
It's because of the association with the woo-woo thing. It's like an identity thing. It's, they don't want to be, it's because they see like so far one way, you know, you have the, you know, people who take like the spiritual ego path where it's like, look how spiritual I am through how I'm dressing.
I see.
And I think they use, it's, we're sharing the same language. So when you share that language with someone, the loudest people are the ones who are, you know, doing interesting things and hey, whatever, I might be completely wrong. That might be the answer. I don't know. But I think they're the loudest. So when they hear the same language and they hear the same terminology, it's all frequency and all this, it triggers them and they associate it with that. And that if they buy into it, their ego, or they don't allow themselves to enter it because they think that they're going to be entering into that world.
This is actually why I recommend Neville to a lot of people, because he actually never uses the word frequency. It's something that I use because I really resonate with it from mushrooms. He never uses the word manifestation. He never uses the word frequency. I don't think he's ever used the word vibration. His language, he's just such a unique writer. And the 1900s, you know, when they wrote books in that time, it's the language is more direct. There's less fluff.
Yeah.
So I feel like anyone who has a problem with The Secret or Law of Attraction, go to the source, go to Neville. Yes. I mean, he's not, there's obviously a source beyond the source, like the Emerald Tablet, I'm sure talked about this thousands of years ago. But go to an earlier version of this truth through Neville, through Emmett Fox, who's another great teacher, and read their writings and see if that resonates with you. The other thing that Neville always says is, he says, test it. Don't believe me. Test it for yourself. Go to sleep at night. Imagine a simple thing that your friend says about you behind your back. A thing that is good.
Okay, good.
Have you heard that Tom, my God, his business is just exploding.
Yeah.
And you just hear it mentally, not even visualizing. You're just imagining the audio of a friend you know talking to someone else about you, about your success.
Yeah.
See what happens. Repeat that for a week. See what happens.
I'm going to do it tonight, bro.
Yeah.
But mate, I think that's such amazing wisdom. And you're so right. People can access Neville's teachings and not be triggered in that way. What are the core teachings that you feel so inspired to bring out? What are the core teachings that have really resonated with you? What's got a hold of you? What is it you really want to share in terms of manifestation or reality creation?
Yeah.
Why is that important for people to know?
Well, you're living in a reality. We don't know what this is. No one can say what is the actual true nature of reality. Could be a hologram, could be a simulation, could be something else. The key is find a framework that helps you navigate the reality, that helps you surf the waves. Part of it is going to come from books and teachers. Part of it has to come from your own experience. If you find the right books and teachers and you combine it with your own personal, hey, this happened to me and I manifested this, you're going to start to build your own personal rule set for how reality might work. Now, you'll never know for sure how it works, but you can test it and see if it brings you results. And if it does, great. We're going to keep using the theory that brings us results.
Yeah.
So as long as people get caught up in, is this the truth? Is it really a hologram? I would focus more on, does this bring meaningful, positive impact into my life, my business, my relationships?
Yeah.
So what I love about Neville, like you said, no one to change but self. So every time I have a problem with a person, it's not them.
Yeah.
No one to change but self. So even if I block someone or cut them out of my life, it's not about them.
Yeah.
I am changing my standards and changing myself.
Yeah.
Of course, it comes up in every area of life. So when you have problems with money, it's not the outside world. It's something you haven't learned yet or haven't applied. Can you think of something?
So I'd love to explore that, because I think money's a huge one, man. So from everything you've just spoken about so far, Neville's teachings, feel the feeling of the wish fulfilled, or assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled.
Oh, yes. Let me add on something to that.
Please.
So the reason the feeling of the wish fulfilled is so important is some of the language around the manifestation community focused a lot on thoughts.
Yes.
Control your thinking.
Yes.
But Neville really beautifully puts it that it's really the feeling you're going after.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, oh, I thought this affirmation 100 times, where is my Ferrari? It's about, are you embodying the feeling of wealth?
Yes.
Are you embodying the feeling of health?
Yes.
Are you embodying the feeling of worth? And you get to choose. You have total free will of the state you want to inhabit. Neville says all states are already created.
Yes.
There's every single version of you that already exists. The poor, the wicked, the evil, the generous, the kind.
Yes.
You have been given the gift of choosing which TV channel, which frequency you want to turn on in your life. Yeah. And it works, but it works with time.
Yes.
It is not an overnight thing. Sometimes it is, but to really embody a frequency, it's sometimes months of just holding on to the feeling that you want to establish in your life as the dominant frequency, and you'll start to see signs. First, small signs, like a little sprouting of the leaves. You know, it's like you're watering a plant. Eventually, it'll grow into a big oak tree that can't be cut down by anyone because it's just so huge and massive. But eventually, at first, it's a little sapling. And so, of course, if you have doubts, it'll just destroy the sapling, right? So you have to, it's a discipline thing of how much can I hold on to the new feeling?
Yeah. So I believe it's Neville says as well, it's your feelings imprint on your subconscious.
Something like that.
It's along those lines. And for me, that's a nice visualization. It's like your subconscious is will run the operation while you're not, you know, it's in your subconscious.
I'm not sure if you actually talked about subconscious, but it, I agree with that. I think it's like, someone else said it, it's like a stamp on the hot wax of an envelope.
Yes.
You're making a mold.
Yes.
And so
that's a brilliant visualization.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant visualization. How can someone do that, let's say, with money? In your opinion, how can someone feel the feeling of abundance?
Yeah.
And like you said, you're not just going to have a thought and zap a Ferrari. You're not going to have a thought and, zap a bunch of cash. How does that process actually work? Is that even real?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it in my life. First of all, I would examine your relationship with money. Do you have a relationship with money? Someone on my podcast, she said, I like to have a date night with money every Wednesday. She'll take herself out for dinner, but it's actually with money. And she'll just see like, well, where are the blocks between us and what should I be working on? And why isn't the abundance coming? She'll talk to money. And this is what the first, this is not a Neville technique, but it's something I found super useful is get a relationship with money, get interested in it.
Yeah.
If you're in your mind, oh, money's evil or money's dirty, how can you expect to build a relationship with someone if you keep calling them dirty? Right? So you have to find the beauty in having a lot of resources.
Yeah.
What that could expand your life into. Are you grateful for money? If someone gives you a dollar, can you feel gratitude for that dollar?
Yeah.
When you get a free coffee from someone, are you truly feeling, because wealth is, abundance is not just about money. It's the frequency of gratitude. It's the frequency of overflow, more than enough.
Yes.
Plenty for all. Yeah. That doesn't have to come from money. My friend Steve, his transformation happened when he went to the ocean. He was dead broke, on the verge of bankruptcy. I think he was like 100K in debt. And collectors were calling him every day. It was super stressful. And he tells the story on his blog. He goes to the beach, I think it was Santa Monica Beach, and he's sitting there and he's looking at the waves and he's like, this feels nice. The ocean is free. The sand is free. Why can't my whole life be like that? No collectors calling me here. I can enjoy this beach for free and just take in the ocean breeze, the beautiful sunset. And he realized in that moment, you don't need money to feel that feeling.
Yes.
And if you feel that feeling, eventually it'll dominate your life. You will find ways to earn money in ways that match that feeling. So you'll bring that feeling of freedom, expansiveness, abundance, gratitude for what is.
Yes.
You can't get from there to here. I'll be grateful when I get there. That doesn't work. Another story I read from someone, she said, manifestation worked for me when I was living in a trailer with holes in the ground and rats coming in. I had to first be absolutely grateful for that.
Yes.
Eventually, I ended up in a mansion.
Yeah.
But it started from being grateful for the holes in the ground.
I wanted to read a Neville quote as well. One that I love what you said so much, and it's finding it in that present moment now. You want to feel more abundance? It's here.
Can't find it here, you cannot find it anywhere else. The flame.
Yeah.
You can build a bonfire, but the little tiny flame, you've got to spark it here.
Yes.
And you can't wait for the universe to spark it. You've got to spark it. You've got to sit with yourself and say, what am I grateful for?
Yes.
Nothing. Okay. There must be something.
Yes.
I'm grateful for the air. Okay. That's a start.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Can you appreciate a cup of coffee?
Yes.
For 5 minutes, savoring the aromas.
Yes.
The people that had to pick the beans, that had to travel all the way around the world to get to you, the people that prepared it, the oat milk that was harvested. Oh, there is so much abundance in that cup of coffee that you can see if you just look.
Oh, man. That's beautiful, man. That's such a like a beautiful perspective.
Yeah.
I hope, yeah, challenge anyone who's listening. Next cup of coffee.
Yes.
You have.
I learned that from Ibrahim. We were having dinner once and he's like, every time I pray for the food, I'm thinking about every single person that had to contribute to this piece of meat or the salad or the eggs. And the list is, you can actually never thank all the people because it just goes back so far.
People can buy into this and they can experience this. And sometimes they come across these blocks. And there's a teaching from Neville that I wanted to get your perspective of and how people can bring this into the manifestations. Mm-hmm. And this is some of Neville's work that I think maybe isn't always touched upon, but I think it's crucial to understanding the core of it, from my understanding. So this is directly from Neville. Your desire to be fulfilled is directly proportionate to the naturalness of your feeling of already being that which you want to be, of already having what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it does not feel natural to you to be what you imagine yourself to be is the secret to your failure. Regardless of your desire, regardless of how faithfully and intelligently you follow the law, if you do not feel natural about what it is you want to be, you will not be it.
100%. The secret to your failure.
The secret to your failure, yeah.
That's not how people usually talk. This is what I mean. Neville, the way he channels this is incredible. Okay, so naturalness. Super glad you brought this up. Think about everything in your life you already feel natural about that comes easy to you, and you will see the secret of creation.
Huh.
So we live in Bali. It's natural to us.
Yes.
We don't wake up every day going, oh my God, can you believe we get to go to the beach today and we live by the ocean? Yeah. We're grateful, but it just feels natural. It's like, this is the frequency I'm on.
Yeah.
If it didn't feel natural, the energy, we would be kicked out of Bali energetically. We could not stay in this energy.
Huh.
You see it with social circles too. You go to this epic mastermind, high level people.
Yes.
They raise your energy for 3 days. If you cannot maintain the naturalness of that, of hanging around the millionaires and the billionaires in that mastermind, you're going to end up going to your comfort level, which is hanging out with your current friends.
Uh-huh.
So it's everything. And so Neville says, you know, the reason you do the visualization in the first place and you repeat it every night, the scene, you imagine the scene, is to imprint that natural feeling.
Yes.
A really great way is just to look at what you've already manifested, what comes easy to you. For example, the city you live in, or maybe a skill you have, like writing or speaking, that to you is just like, yeah, of course, like, or music. I've always played music. But to some other people, it would be like, oh my God, you know how to play piano, or you know how to do this, or you know how to dance.
Yeah.
So you look at one aspect of your life that is already working and you study it. Why is it working?
Huh.
What about this aspect of my life? Why is it flowing so well? And if you look at that, you will find every secret of creation in that moment. Look at what works and do more of it.
I love the example that you gave of Bali, and it's almost that flipping, oh yeah, I'm in Bali, driving around, it's sunny today, I've been doing this, but that's natural.
It's
natural. And maybe people be like, all right, good for you, mate, but that's the energy you have to approach it, because when you put the excess importance on it,
excess importance,
then you're going to push it further away.
Yeah, so in Reality Transurf, another beautiful book, Vadim Zelin talks a lot about excessive potential and balancing forces. When you put something on a pedestal, it kind of guarantees that you're just not ready for it. If you're like, oh, I want to live in Bali, but it's like this amazing thing. That's not the feeling you'd feel if you actually live in Bali. You would feel natural about it. You'd feel calm as a cucumber. So it's kind of counterintuitive.
Yes.
Because we imagine manifestation as this, oh my God, I got it. I won the lottery.
Yes.
It's not that. It's you exactly as you are now with all your flaws. You're not suddenly Brad Pitt. It's you with all your flaws, but just a slightly different frequency. And if you can work with that, you're going to attract so much more things than if you try to get this ideal that is not you. It's not you. You got to fall in love with who you are, all your flaws and warts and all, and then just upgrade the frequency on whichever area you want to work on. And do it one area at a time. It's just easier that way.
That is going to change so many people's lives.
I hope so.
That's amazing, brother.
Read Neville.
Read Neville. I want to talk about how to transition into 1 billion humans. So I really love Wayne Dyer. You are never given the power to dream without the equivalent level of power to manifest that dream into reality. 1 billion humans. What is happening? What is 1 billion humans? Where did the vision come from? What is the vision? I want to hear.
1 billion humans is the question of what would happen if 1 billion people were educated about psychedelics? And then what if we got 1 billion people to do a mushroom trip on the same day, at the same time, worldwide? What would happen to the planet's frequency? Just your own solo trip, I know what that can do to me. But if 1 billion people are vibrating on the energy of the mushrooms or their plant medicine of choice. So the vision started in the ayahuasca journey, that very first one where I said I felt all the grief. I felt the collective grief. And I said, I was talking to Mother Aya, and I said, well, why? How can it be that we're so divided? How could they, whoever they are, do this to us, divide all of us? We're supposed to be one big tribe, one big family.
Yes.
How can we unite people again? A leader won't do it. A politician won't do it. A book won't do it, because unless you're ready for it, it's not going to work. What is going to work? And Mother Aya said to me, what worked for you? What connected you to your light and your soul? Plant medicine, mushrooms. And in that moment, the whole vision was downloaded. And you know, in psychedelics, everything is heightened. So when you feel conviction, you really feel it. And I truly felt the conviction of, if 1 billion people, 1 in 8 people on Earth, were educated, knew what the powers of these medicines, what a few grams of shrooms can do for your mind, expand your consciousness, raise your frequency, heal your relationships, heal your soul, connect you to the divine. Just you and you, you and the mushrooms, you and your higher self, you and your subconscious. If every person individually took a trip by themselves, and then imagine 1 billion of us were doing this regularly. Can you imagine one trip a month where everyone just tunes in and calibrates themselves on a full moon, perhaps? Then we all go back to our daily lives, connected, in tune, tethered to source. We're always tethered, but waking up to that, feeling it, the awareness of that.
It's amazing, man. I wish I knew what the study was called, but there's this great, it's this levels of consciousness, and it talks about...
Maybe it gives David Hawkins?
Is it where he gives it a score, and he talks about that if someone operating at this level of consciousness will raise the frequency for 100,000. And then it goes all the way up to like Christ level consciousness, Buddha level consciousness, that I can't remember what the term is called. I need to reread it. But it's this idea that when you raise yourself, it's not just you raising yourself. You actually bring so many people up around you. The more you do on yourself. And yeah, so with that being said, the 1 billion humans raising that level, that's going to bring the other 7 billion. Everyone's going to kind of raise up with that. What are the milestones? How do you get? Because, I mean, getting 1 billion people to do mushrooms is one very, you know, it's going to take a lot of logistics.
For sure.
What are the milestones? How do we get there?
Yeah, great question. I think the first step is the education bit. So that's everything I've been doing with my YouTube and podcast.
Yes.
Telling people what worked for me, how to navigate the resistance, how to surf the waves in a psychedelic trip. I believe that's really vital knowledge to put out there. And it'll attract the people who are ready to hear that. So the first step is education. The second step is starting with 1,000 people worldwide.
Yeah.
Or 500. Seeing what happens. Checking in with everyone next day. Okay, what did you experience? Then the next 1,000, then 10,000, then hopefully 100,000, then one day, hopefully 1 million. So the logistics are, that's an interesting one. Like, do we have enough shrooms for 1 billion people? That's something I'm going to have to figure out.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the broader vision is the education, the awareness, because 1 billion people right now are not aware of mushrooms. I don't know how many it is. I would like to believe it's at least 100 million, half a billion. That would be great. But then for people to be also doing the work, So imagine if a billion people were doing a trip at least once a year, sometime on their own time, how much their own personal work, how much it would raise the frequency for everyone around them, everyone in their family, the lessons they're learning. So yeah, the first milestone is let's get 1,000 people worldwide, and then also the education piece, which I'm working on.
Let's visualize this day. How does this day look? And so others can begin to visualize it as well and harden it from a visualization into reality. How does that day where a billion people take psychedelics, take mushrooms, how does that day look?
A return to love. Everyone's tuning in. Everyone is consciously tuning into the energy of their soul and the energy of the mushrooms. And I think I'm going to provide a playlist so everyone can tune into the same playlist. And then the vision I actually had was the next morning. You're getting your coffee and you're like, were you one of the 1 billion? Did you do shrooms last night? So it's a fun sort of going after the day and seeing like, okay, everyone's had this experience. It's kind of like with ayahuasca, like the next morning, you just like, oh my God, I feel like I've lived 10 lifetimes. And did you see what I see? Are we all on the same page here? And everyone is. Everyone's like, oh my God, that was a crazy night.
So what is the effect? What is the effect? What are those conversations like? And what are people feeling?
They're feeling they got the message that they needed to hear for their soul. And they know the exact next step for their life. And they feel more connected to love. So everyone that they meet on that day and then following weeks, you just feel more in tune, feel more compassion, more empathy. I feel that anyway, every time I do a trip. More clarity, like a calibration, like we're talking about the mechanic. She's like, everything's just running smoothly. Also synchronicities double after a mushroom trip, if not triple. It's like everything I want seems to materialize so much easier. So then the conversations would be a conversation about our nature and the nature of reality and frequency and energy. If you do mushrooms a good enough dose, you can't not talk about that. The divinity that's in all of us. It's like, it's almost like we try to forget. We just like, oh, let's watch Netflix and chill. You're living in an energetic, who knows what this is, experiencing a million different frequencies, light, color, sound, intuition, emotion, love. This is magic. This shouldn't exist. This is incredible. And we're not talking about it. The first question in grade one of school should be, what the fuck is this and where are we?
That is amazing. Yes, mate. That's it, isn't
what
it?
What is this? What's going on? And how can I tune into my purpose? The grade oneer asking the teacher, what is my purpose? Forget the math and the biology. I just want to know, why am I here?
What the hell even is this? Oh, man, that's so awesome. That's really hit me. And I guess science is kind of like an exploration of that in a way. That is the question of what is it all? But then this is, I mean, I believe that spirituality...
They're
coming to the same point.
They're coming to the same point. And something I read, I forgot from who, I think it was Walter Russell. He wrote in one of his books that eventually science will be spirituality. It will be undeniable from both angles.
It's the same question.
It's like we're coming at it from different different points. But eventually it's just so undeniable. So,
man, one of the, I think this, so I was watching one of your videos. We talked, already spoke about this. But someone had commented on one of your YouTube videos. Or I think I actually commented on it, but basically it was the DMT experience. And it's, you said that someone was doing DMT. I'm not sure if it was you who asked or someone asked, oh, as I'm doing DMT, do I need to have my eyes closed or open? And then the response was, where you're going, it does not matter.
There are no eyes.
And that's... for me, is such a brilliant way to describe these experiences. Mm-hmm. We start to realize that these things are just tools, the input frequencies, input data, our meat computer deals with it and then projects something mm-hmm. off. And then there we go. That's what we're operating in daily. But when you access these places, mm-hmm. it's not an experience that we can explain with sensory data. Mm-hmm. I mean, awareness is maybe the best way to describe it.
It's the pure I am-ness of you. Mm-hmm. Consciousness perceiving itself mm. is how I see it. When I was on that DMT trip, and this was the big one, I wanted to break through. Huh. I went to my friend. I said, you know how to do this. Light up the pipe for me and get it all ready. And because I didn't even know like the basics of properly doing it at that point. So I trusted him. And it's so funny. He would bring the pipe closer and I'm like, wait, I'm not ready. Because I knew the moment I breathed in and held that vapor, I would blast off.
Yes.
And I knew because I had done smaller DMT trips from a vape pen.
Yeah.
And even that was incredible. Mm. I couldn't imagine like what a proper breakthrough trip would be. Mm. And then I asked him, should I keep my eyes open or closed? Mm. He said, you know, you can keep them open. Keep them open. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're going. I kept them open. Everything I breathed in, the whole room exploded in a million pixels, like a million Minecraft pieces.
Yeah.
Suddenly I was in this other dimension that looked just as sharp, if not more real and sharper than this reality.
Yeah.
I blinked my eyes. I could feel for a few seconds, I could feel my eyelashes touching my face.
Yeah.
Nothing changed in the vision. And then the eyelashes were gone. The body was gone. The fingers were gone.
Yeah.
And I was just perceiving energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that trip, it fundamentally changed the way I viewed death because I felt this is what death is.
Yes.
I'm not in my body, but I'm perceiving. How can it be? Okay, so this must be something like what happens when you die.
Yes.
You blink your eyes are not there anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
Your body is gone.
Yeah.
But you're still perceiving, you're conscious. And, you know, anyone who's afraid of death, I always found this thing of like you die and you're like in this blackness forever. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me if you actually think about it for a few moments. Everything in life is moving, flowing, changing. There's never a static moment. To presume presumptuously that somehow when you die, there's a static blackness is contrary to every single other moment in your life. So, I don't know, but also do a DMT trip. That'll cure your fear of death.
So I can't remember who it is, but the gist of the poem is it's talking on death and it's like to die is to like, is to return home, but to know it for the first time.
Mm. That's exactly what DMT felt like for me.
Yeah.
I felt home.
Yeah.
I felt like I've been here before.
Man, so this has been such a beautiful conversation and I appreciate you so much, brother. Mm. I just wanted to say, I hope people can hear how much respect we are giving these plant medicines.
Yes.
This isn't being spoken about flippantly.
Yeah, I might joke about it, you know, go do DMT, but I 100% I want to reiterate, you only do it with intention.
Yeah.
Pure intention. What do you want to learn? What is your relationship to this trip? Yes. Why are you doing it? And then you go with grace and you do it.
That's beautiful. Go with grace. So, man, where can people find you? How can they get into your world, start thinking, seeing things how you see things? Yeah. How can they get closer to you?
The best place is the YouTube. James Zander, you can find that on YouTube. Also my podcast, The James Zander Trip. It's on another channel. And they can connect with me personally at jameszander.com. I have a newsletter. And of course, the mission, 1billionhumans.com. If you feel any resonance with the idea of a billion people being connected to plant medicine, go sign up. Doesn't cost anything. It's just an email list for now. And I'll notify people when we do the next trip.
I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful, beautiful conversation.
Appreciate you.
So that's it for today's episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please give the podcast a rating on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Every review helps us out. Also, if you want to go give Tom Spark some love, he's such an amazing host. Go show him some love. You can find his podcast on Spotify and Apple or by visiting his YouTube channel. I'll have all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much for being a listener of The James Zander Trip, and I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, so if you're still listening and you've made it this far, I want to thank you personally. You are one of the OGs, the true fans of the podcast. Not many people listen to the end, so if you've actually made it this far, I don't take that for granted. I appreciate you so much, and I invite you to reach out to me personally. I'd love to hear what episodes you most enjoyed, what type of topics, and what type of guests you'd love to see in the future. Feel free to message me on Instagram, or you can email me if you sign up to my newsletter and just hit reply to the welcome email. I'll be sure to read it. Now, if you have a moment to rate the podcast on Apple or Spotify, that would help me out so much. I super appreciate that. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast on YouTube, please do me a favor and go to youtube.com/@JamesXanderTripp. I'm trying to get to 1,000 subscribers, so every subscriber counts. One last thing, I have another podcast where I do solo episodes, mostly about psychedelics, but I also share life lessons and all sorts of insights. So if you search for The Microdose, you can find my second podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And finally, I just launched a mindset course called Unlock God Mode. So in the next audio, you'll hear more details about my course. If you're not interested, feel free to skip to the next episode. Again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means the world to me. Feel free to share this episode with a friend that you think might enjoy it, and I'll see you next week. If you enjoyed this episode, you might enjoy my brand new audio course, Unlock God Mode. Unlock God Mode is a 4-week experience where every day you'll get a 15-minute audio lesson that gives you frameworks, tools, and perspectives to upgrade your relationship with life. In the same way that mushrooms give you insights that help you up-level in the video game of life, I designed this course to do the same thing for you. I've compiled every lesson that I learned through psychedelics, through meditation, through my spiritual work, through life. I've put my best tools in this course so that no matter who you are, if you choose to go on this adventure with me, you're going to learn some amazing frameworks. You're going to learn to see life with new eyes. You will improve your relationship with life, and by extension, your life will improve. If you're interested in more details, go to jamesxander.com/godmode or use the link in the show notes. Use the promo code SHROOMS for a special discount. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I deeply appreciate you. Feel free to reach out to me through my newsletter. Go to jamesxander.com to sign up. I'd love to connect. This episode is sponsored by magicmush.ca. If you're looking for an online dispensary for magic mushrooms, mushroom chocolate, and other high-quality psychedelic products, head over to magicmush.ca and use the promo code JAMES to get 25% off. Thank you for listening, and have a beautiful trip.